What do you do after a successful career in the Ultimate Fighting Championships? Folks, that's what we're diving into today. My name is Trevor Boehm. I'm the founder of the Uncivilized Movement, author of the books Today I Rise and Man Uncivilized, founder of the Uncivilized Nation, and the host of this here incredible Uncivilized podcast. The goal of the Uncivilized Movement is to end the suffering in men so that we end the suffering caused by men. And we're doing this by building a movement of a million men who express their masculinity through the primal and the divine. And today, I get to sit down with UFC veteran Elliot Marshall live. This is in person at his gym here in Denver, and have an extraordinary conversation about all kinds of aspects of life, of athletics, of professional athletics, of being a fighter, of what it takes to be a fighter. But more importantly, what do you do at the end of a career, right? Early 30s, late 20s, when you spent your entire life planning, training, living a certain way, and then boom, just like that, you're retired by the organization. What do you do? How do you live? How do you become a successful husband? How do you become a successful father? How do you raise two boys? How do you build an extraordinary business? Elliot has this incredible jiu-jitsu school. He's an awesome, very, very vivacious guy. But don't let the personality fool you. Like, don't let the charm and the charisma fool you. He drops some gems in this podcast. He talks about how he starts his day. He talks about intentionality. He talks about all of the values, like the core values of his business, but also the core values he lives by as a man, right? I love this conversation. It was such a pleasure to get to sit down with him. And truthfully, I made him a little deal. I was like, I will drive to your gym and interview you in person if I can take your jiu-jitsu class afterwards. And he was gracious enough to let me hang with all the people in his class after and train. It was just an incredible experience. So grab a pen and paper. Open your heart, open your ears, and get ready for Elliot Marshall. Now, before you do, I have a quick ask of you. As you know, we're still trying to get the podcast to 375,000 listens by the end of the year. You may be listening to this after the end of the year, but even so, please do two things for me. Just two. One, share this podcast with a man in your life, any man in your life, right? It's an awesome, awesome podcast. Number two, please go to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're listening to this, and leave us a positive review. Guys, I am recording this intro November 9th, and last Sunday, we had our biggest day in the podcast history. We had almost 1,000 listens in a single day. And that, to me, says 1,000 people got knowledge, got information, got education, got inspiration, and got the support that they need. And as I said in the beginning, our goal is to reach a million men. A million's a big fucking number. We can't do that on our own. I can't do that on my own. So please help me spread the podcast. I love you. Without further ado, here's Elliot Marshall.
Elliot Marshall. Trevor. Welcome to the Uncivilized Podcast, brother.
Thanks for having me, Trevor.
This is a pleasure, man.
Yeah.
It's been some time. We've been kind of going back and forth with this for a bit.
You know, schedules can, and you know, and I have two kids and man, they can be, can we curse on this podcast?
Absolutely.
Schedules are a motherfucker, especially when you add two kids.
I believe you. So where are we? Just for people who aren't watching this and listen.
We are at my Denver school. You know, we're at one of the schools that Amal and I own down in Denver.
Okay.
That is part of this Easton thing that we do. You know, we have really tried to not only make a career and a living for me and him as the primary shareholders of the company.
Yeah.
But this idea, and you met, my front desk person, you know, and he like, how can he have a living with jiu-jitsu?
Right.
You know, and I know you're a jiu-jitsu person as well. And most of what you see with jiu-jitsu people is they teach.
Right.
And then they got to grow up and get a big boy job when they have kids and a wife and a family and stuff, right? Well, I didn't want a big boy job.
Right.
Amal didn't want a big boy job. Mike, who's our CEO, didn't want a big boy job. So how do we create big boy jobs and big girl jobs?
Yeah.
You know?
I dig it.
So that's what we do.
You know? How did you and Amal meet?
In a mall.
Get out.
Yeah. I was walking through what was called the Crossroads Mall. It's where the 29th Street Mall is now in Boulder. And I was a freshman in college. I just moved out here. And he was like, he was just like handing out flyers and stuff.
For jiu-jitsu.
He was teaching out of a place called Karate America in Boulder.
Get out.
And yeah, that's how we met.
Wow.
And then I went in for a month and I got hurt a little bit. I ran out of money. And probably the real story is I got a girlfriend for the first time. So I, you know, I'm a late bloomer. I'd never gotten laid really before, right? So like I was getting consistently laid. So
you ran into the trifecta of things that fuck up a jiu-jitsu career.
You know? So I did it for a month and then come a year later, my girlfriend broke up with me. I still didn't have any money. I heard he opened his own place. So I drive down there and I ask him if I can clean and trade for tuition. And he goes, man, it's your lucky day. The cleaner quit 2 hours ago. Wow. So I literally went from cleaner to owner.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for just a second.
Yeah. Because
I know so many guys, Elliot, that want to do something,
mm-hmm.
but aren't willing to walk in and go, I don't give a fuck what you need. I'll clean the floors. I'll wash the windows. I'll do your taxes. Like, what was it in you, if you can go back to that time, that said, just ask. Just ask the question.
I had been doing karate my whole life. So I started martial arts when I was 6 years old.
Okay.
And I had worked my way up there too, right? I was the 13-year-old kid who wasn't allowed to teach a class, but he could work with that one kid who couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just worked and worked and worked, and I got better at teaching, learned the skills, you know, and became the head instructor there below the owner and the head instructor, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but I was, you know, I started by getting paid with the change out of the soda machine that he had. Like, it was so disrespectful, right? He would literally hand me a roll of quarters. And everyone would make fun of me.
Right.
Right? Like, Marshall's going to go get his quarters.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So what made me go ask? Because that's what I did before is I don't know what made me go ask. Because I wasn't this confident. I wasn't this human that I am now.
Yeah, of course.
But I just went and asked, what could hurt?
You had a spark of something, huh?
It's look, there's no one in this world that's luckier than me.
Okay.
There's no one in the world. You will not convince me that someone's luckier than me. First and foremost, I have two amazing parents.
Mm.
They stayed together,
mm-hmm.
right? I had nothing to do with that,
mm-hmm.
right? So I came from a unified household,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is, we know in America,
Very rare.
We know the number one prerequisite for success in the world
right.
is that.
Right.
Okay. Number two, my hard work can actually pay off because there's so many people out there in the world who work so much harder than me, mm-hmm. like 10 times harder than me,
mm-hmm.
just for a bowl of soup, some water, and a roof over their head.
Mm-hmm.
My hard work actually like makes me live in abundance,
mm-hmm.
and helps me have other people live in abundance. Right. Right? Like we've talked about, like we have six or seven people here that make over $100,000 a year,
wow.
you know?
That's
so
awesome.
That's awesome, right? Just yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, but our hard work actually gets to fruit. There's fruit from it, right?
Yeah.
When I was born in 1980, nobody knew that martial arts, which was my passion, was going to boom in 2004
mm-hmm.
with the release of The Ultimate Fighter.
Sure.
Nobody knew that.
Right.
So Elliot born, martial arts booms right when Elliot's ready for it to boom. It's, and I'm not saying I'm Steve Jobs or anybody or Bill Gates, but their industry boomed when they were ready for it to boom. If they were 10 years old or 10 years younger, it's from Malcolm Gladwell's book, then they miss.
Right.
They just miss, right? And like they're just regular, and I'm a regular dude, but my industry boomed when I was ready for it to boom. I didn't have anything to do with that.
Right.
Nothing.
Can we take a step back?
Yeah, for sure.
I think I've forgotten to even ask you.
Mm-hmm.
What you do, how you do it, like for people who've never heard of you, the three people listening to this who've never heard of you.
Yeah. What do I do?
I love this question because in America, it's like, well, I'm a lawyer, but you have a very unique set of hats, I imagine.
I bring you to find your power.
Okay.
I help people find their power. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And I use the vehicle of teaching martial arts, specifically Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
That's what I do for a living.
Fuck yeah.
You know?
How good does that feel to say?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing because that's what I do.
Yeah.
And I would rather do nothing else in the whole world. And I start with my two boys
mm-hmm.
and then here at the school
mm-hmm.
and like man, you know where I'll be. Mm-hmm. So come on, let's go.
Beautiful. Will you walk me through a bit of, so you meet them all, you have the first class, you take a year off, you come back. Walk us through a little bit of your career, if you would.
So then after that, I just trained. My girlfriend broke up with me. Look, so again, it's like this perfect storm.
Yeah.
She broke up with me. And a lot of my friends, we were all in this circle, right? Because we all lived in the dorms together. She got a job at Chili's. And they would all go to Chili's every night and get hammered because she would serve them.
Yeah.
Right? And the manager, I guess, just didn't care. Well, I couldn't go because she just broke up with me.
Right.
And we weren't of age. So they were like, yeah, let's go.
Okay.
So I just went and trained all the time.
Yeah. So you lost your ticket to the bar.
Right.
And instead we're like, I'm going to just become a fucking monster.
Well, if I don't have any friends. So let me just go to this one place where I was, we got to back up.
Go for it.
Okay. Martial arts has been my life, my whole life.
Yeah.
I was not accepted as a child. 1980. My dad's black, grew up during civil rights. Okay. My mom, Jewish, survivor of Holocaust survivors.
Wow.
Child of Holocaust survivors.
Yeah.
My dad, a lot of fear in the world, just around Halloween just happened.
Right.
My dad never went trick-or-treating once in his whole life because it wasn't safe, right?
And you grew up on the East Coast?
I grew up on the East Coast.
Yeah.
My grandparents, we don't have to explain the atrocities of the Holocaust.
Sure.
And 1980, so black guy, Jewish, white lady, it's not super kosher.
Right.
When we moved to the neighborhood that I grew up in, eight and on, vandalized. Yearly, bi-yearly, my house.
Wow.
The first time, Nigers, they spelled it wrong. Go home.
Fucking idiots.
Swastikas all over it.
Right.
They spelled it right after this moving forward.
Right.
You know? So this was my life. Don't be sorry. I was just not accepted.
Yeah.
Right? So school's normally fun for people. You hang out with your friends, right? School sucked for me.
Yeah.
I ate lunch alone. Mm. I walked the halls alone. Mm-hmm. There was one place I was accepted. Karate class. Mm-hmm. So martial arts was always my savior. Mm-hmm. So now fast forward a little bit to the summer in between my junior and senior year, still doing karate, getting paid in quarters. And
do you know him? Can you go? Do you like?
Oh yeah, we still talk.
Okay,
he knows what you built. Who knows?
Every Christmas, I would mail him back like a roller coaster.
No man, how could I not be thankful for him? Right, he gave me the start.
It's true.
Like without him, he taught me how to teach, right? He taught me how to do this,
right?
Maybe not this specifically, but he gave me the gift of martial arts. It's very inspiring. However much I might disagree with him on other issues,
sure,
right? For me, massive in my life, massive. So somewhere in between my junior and senior year, it's 1997 now, 98, somewhere 97. And those guys start learning this stuff called Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
They show me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to school, start talking about it. Some wrestlers hear about it. They're state champs. So they're big deals, popular, all the girls, yada, yada. And here's this dork kind of fat kid, Elliot. Actually lost all my baby fat in between that year too. So a late bloomer in every way. They challenge me and I beat their ass. I get some friends.
Mm-hmm.
A girl kisses me. People walk the halls. Oh shit!
Right.
So in that moment, because my grandparents have always taught me, you will be safe from Hitler if you have somebody to hide you from Hitler when he comes again.
Wow,
that was the lesson I learned.
Wow.
So now I have people. Yeah. Why do I have people? Because I beat somebody up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how will I be safe in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll beat people up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'll go fight in the UFC. That's what I'll do. I just watched the first UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go fight in the UFC.
Mm.
So I am now tying my safety and security in the world as a human being to winning fights. Where most people, what they tie to winning fights is money, fame, that I have a much lower base level need that's being fulfilled by fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So I train, I get good, I fight, all right? Like, and then, you know, all these insecurities are popping up. This anxiety that I've always had in my life is popping up, you know? And I'm hiding it with fighting, right? It's all masked with fighting. And I win everything there is to win in jiu-jitsu just about, right? Minus the world championships. But so I do that, train my ass off, fight, start fighting, get on the Ultimate Fighter, have a UFC career, but don't fight to my ability. Don't fight to what I can truly do, because I'm fighting not to lose, right? I won't risk, you know? I was very risk averse in fighting. Nobody wanted to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got released.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Can we talk about that day?
Which day?
The day you got released.
For good?
Yeah.
Oh, I got released twice.
Okay.
Once I fought my way back.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I knew my career was over that day.
Yeah.
He ain't going to listen to this, man. Fuck Joe Silva. And he was the matchmaker at the time.
Yeah.
He released me as I was walking out of the cage from the fight.
Just like, hey, man, got a quick second?
Hey, should have fought like you fought in that third round. If you would have fought like that in the first two rounds, you'd still have a job.
Wow.
As you're leaving the octagon.
Wow.
That's how he was.
Yeah.
You know, he's all 5'2".
Right.
You know? So, yeah.
What do you do the next morning? And I'm not asking for the trauma story.
So, yeah.
Like,
so
how do you get yourself
ready?
Back up?
This is the luck of my life. I was looking at this building that we're sitting in right now 2 days later.
Get out.
Because it was already scheduled. I already had it scheduled.
Like in reality, not like spiritually, there was a plan for you, but like in reality.
Yeah. On Halloween
of
2011, I looked at this building. Yesterday, 11 years ago.
Get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, if I would have won that fight, I don't think I would have bought this building.
Right.
Because I would have had to fight.
Right, right, right.
Right?
Whole
and
different
you,
idea.
You can't do this and that.
Yeah, you can't.
Right?
Yeah.
So, really lucky that I lost that fight. And I actually beat the dude's ass in the fight. You go back and watch that fight, me versus Brandon Vera. Go, it's on Fight Pass. You go tell me if I lost that fight.
Yeah.
Okay? We won't even have to make the argument that I won. You tell me if I lost. So, regardless, there's some luck.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to do with that.
Right.
Right. So I looked at this building.
But there's courage. There's drive. There's how many guys are looking at buildings to buy, thinking there's got to be something in there, Elliot, that's 5 years from now, this is what it could look like. Did you have a vision?
No. Well, yeah, for sure. Ever since I was 6 years old, I said I was going to own a martial arts school.
Yeah.
I was going to teach karate because that's what it was then.
Sure.
And, you know, my grandfather said I was crazy. There's no money in that. There's no, you know, what are you going to do with that, you know? And when I was teaching for a mall, as I was coming up, my grandfather was always a very successful man, always yelling me, get a contract so he has to pay you. I'm like, why is he getting signed on a signed contract? For what? You know, I got to teach the class, you know, and they don't pay me, you know? So he argued with me his whole life. And then literally the last time I ever saw the man on his dying bed, you know, we're crying because we knew this was it, right? You know, this is over. I had to leave. And we're crying. And he looks at my mom and he goes, give him whatever he wants. Give him whatever he wants. And and I was still fighting at that point. Like this was died in 2010. So I still fought for another year. You know?
What did he mean?
I bought this building, you know, he died. So there was some inheritance for the family.
Gotcha.
We bought this building.
Gotcha. Okay. How did you navigate the transition from fighting's all in?
Yeah.
Every moment, every day, you're worried about your weight, what your opponent's doing.
Yeah.
Where are you training? When are you training? How did you make the transition from fighter to business?
You just take that same focus and you do it here.
How did you do it?
Terribly. I was a terrible business. I had to learn it all. But okay, so we'll just learn.
What were some of the...
You have to learn how to use a CRM. I don't even know what a fucking CRM is, man.
Yeah.
You know, customer relations, man. Like when you take your money and follow up with clients.
Yep.
So then I read books. Okay, what do you do to get more clients? What do you do? You have a system of how you follow up. Okay, what's our system? Let's find a better system.
Yeah.
Work with the team. Work with Mike, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we need to do the keep track. How many leads came in this week? How many, right? You know, get on. Ours was called Mind Body at the time. Mind Body.
Yeah.
Right? And be like, okay, how many people fell off last month? Great. Right. Okay. How many people's credit card? Like, I just had to learn how to do all this shit.
Yeah.
And just, you know, be a white belt again.
Did it?
But what help? But what fighting helps with?
Yeah,
is you're so good at getting beat up,
right?
That you just you're it doesn't.
Yeah,
if you really embrace that, it just doesn't fuck with you,
right? Yeah, I think there's a big difference between people who have never done jiu-jitsu,
right,
and people who have,
right.
Even if you've done it for a year, you have lost and regrouped and come back to the mat 1,000 times.
Fighting has nothing, jiu-jitsu specifically, has nothing to do with winning. Being a fighter, being a jiu-jitsu fighter,
yeah.
Your job is to step on a mat. Your job is to step on the mat and step into the arena and fight, right? And that's whether that's the mat every day at class or whether you're trying to be Gordon Ryan. I don't care which one. That is our code to call, to walk.
Mm.
Just take that to your life now.
Mm.
Walk into the arena of your life. Mm-hmm. Don't dip your toe in the shallow end of the pool. Jump in the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
Force yourself to learn how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right, today, jiu-jitsu teaches us, got choked, I drowned, died, dead. Mm-hmm. Right? Whatever, however you want to look at it. Okay. The beautiful piece for all of us is we get to be born again.
Right. Right.
Right? I tap.
Right.
Amazing. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let me try again.
Right.
You have unlimited lives.
Mm.
Right? You're your own God. Right. However you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So let's go. So just get better and get better. The beautiful thing about jiu-jitsu, it's so special that if you just keep coming, you get better.
Right.
That's the amazing part of it.
Yeah.
You can have the worst, like, look at how jiu-jitsu, when did you start?
2007.
Okay. So look at how jiu-jitsu was taught in when I started. It was terrible. Yeah. And not Amal's fault.
Right.
He was a great teacher back then.
Sure.
He's way better now.
Sure.
Because it's gotten so much better.
Right.
Light years better.
Yeah.
And people still got good.
Right.
That's how good jiu-jitsu is. Right. You still get good.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I remember I had a friend, you know, Valerie Worthington, that name.
Mm-hmm.
I remember her when she would always say to guys who got upset that she beat them.
Right.
She'd say, "I didn't beat you. Jiu-jitsu beat you."
Yeah.
Like, so calm down and relax.
Right.
Also, I beat you. But
right.
When you have people that come in, Amal, let's take jiu-jitsu and use it as a life analogy.
Yeah.
When you have someone that walks in the door first time here in this building, is there a conversation with them to set them up and say, "Hey, here's what this is going to look like"? Or do you just hope people like dive in, get beat up a bunch, but keep coming back?
Look, I believe there's a path to take people on, right? Okay. If you're a jiu-jitsu school owner and you're listening to this, we do have a business where we can help you take, it's called Easton Online. We can take you down how it is we've been successful. You get all of our stuff. We cut the first month. First of all, we cut the first month in half.
Okay.
And we give a 30-day money back guarantee on it. That's how much we believe in our program.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you're going to keep coming.
Sure.
But everyone's nervous in the beginning.
Right.
What? Hey, man, you want to come try it?
Right.
Yes or no? No. Oh, shit. Okay.
Right.
Hey, man, look, this is the deal. Normally the price is $200 a month. This month it's $100.
Right.
If you try it and don't like it, I'll give you your $100 back.
Right.
So we give you your money back.
Right.
So what's your objection?
I'm fucking terrified.
Great. So that's the only one that you, right? Great. But that's it.
Right.
No one says that.
Right.
So you get them.
Right.
Now, what's the journey you take somebody on?
Mm.
The mistake that most schools make, my opinion,
mm-hmm.
is they let people train right away
mm-hmm.
and they get beat up too bad.
Right.
And then it's like, oh God, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much.
Mm.
Okay. Imagine never riding a bike before and being thrown in a BMX race.
Right. Where you can get hit.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Right? You don't even do that with baseball, and there's no contact with baseball. Everyone starts playing baseball how? T-ball.
Right.
They put the ball right on the thing, hit it, and you mess that up still.
Right.
You take them like that,
mm-hmm.
and then you slowly, slowly build them up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You make sure that they can move correctly. You make sure they understand the positions. You make sure they understand how, okay, then you start adding some pressure with positional training, and then you start to the full live rolling.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't start for some time.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I understand why jiu-jitsu did it the other way in the beginning. We had to prove ourselves.
Sure.
We had to prove that jiu-jitsu was what it said it was.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're trying to do this jiu-jitsu for all.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it can be for all.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to make it for all, you it can't be. I remember doing the intro classes in 2000. You beg them to fight you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the mount. Here's the guard. Here's how to tap. You want to fight?
Yeah.
Now you want to see this works, right? Driver, you want to see this works, right?
Yeah.
Right? You don't believe this, do you? Come on, let's go. Yeah. And then you get into a fight. Right? And then most people don't sign up.
Right. Gotta go check with my
right?
wife.
Yeah, you know?
Never see him again.
Never see him again. All right. So that didn't work.
Yeah.
We made tough guys. But what we've also seen is this is how you make better guys.
Mm-hmm.
Think about like this making it smaller thing,
mm-hmm.
not letting them just free train.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like to relate it to a sports team, the Broncos. Do you watch the Broncos football?
Yeah.
So they just played on Sunday. Okay. Let's pretend it was in America and they didn't have to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, you get the day off
mm-hmm.
always, right? You watch film. On Tuesday, do you just play football again against each other? Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
When are the only days that you actually play full football as an NFL player?
Probably just Sunday.
Just on Sunday.
Yeah.
Every other thing you do is this small little thing.
Right.
Take the snap, three-step drop.
Right.
Take the snap, three-step drop, hit the receiver
right.
on that route. You just practice it over and over. The little minute things.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to say that we're as close, any of us are as close to the athletes that those
sure.
guys are.
Sure.
So that's how the best in the world get better.
Yeah.
By not actually playing football
yeah.
like we see on TV,
yeah.
well, then how should we get better?
I feel you.
Yeah.
I think I came up and day one was like,
yeah,
go roll.
Right.
Day two, go roll.
Yeah.
Day three, go roll. Day four, hey, let's show you what the guard is now mm-hmm. that we know you're going to stick around. So I completely agree with you. I think it's, what do you think happened to transition jiu-jitsu out of like, only the strong survive, Gladiator Academy.
And this is the argument we get pushback. That's yeah. not how I did it.
Yeah. Is it like a, yeah,
let's start
a
with
paradigm
this, yeah,
thing?
That, it's a paradigm shift. Let's yeah. start with this argument.
Okay.
How you did it.
Yeah.
Or how I did it.
Yeah.
How did we used to get across country in 1850?
Sure. Great point. Horses. Yeah. And we died. Like 70%.
How's that going?
Yeah,
you can get across the country in a couple hours.
Right.
Right?
There's like a 70% death rate.
It's super
problem.
Safe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Super safe. Even the second safest way, which is driving.
Sure.
Is still way more dangerous than flying and super safe.
Sure.
Okay. So we don't do things. We get better.
Mm-hmm.
And we pay attention to innovation.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay attention. How are the best in the world doing? Why don't you call Gordon Ryan right now
mm-hmm.
and see how often he just live trains as hard as he can.
What do you think the answer to that is?
I think it's never almost. I think it's once to twice a week.
Really?
I'm aware that it's once to twice a week.
Okay.
You drill.
Yeah.
You add some resistance.
Right.
You add some more resistance.
Yeah.
You add some different looks. You add some more resistance. But very specific things.
Yeah.
Doing it once means nothing. That's luck.
Sure.
Can you repeat it and repeat it and repeat it? Well, the only way you can repeat it and repeat it and repeat it is if you go slow and you go small.
Mm.
And I got to be able to do this to all of you.
Right.
Okay. Let me step my level up. Now look, as a black belt, okay, I don't have to do it quite as small. Neither does Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
You train with white belts.
Mm-hmm.
You train with blue belts. Can I do it on them first? Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Now go to a purple belt.
Mm-hmm.
Now go to a purple belt my size.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now go to a brown belt smaller than me.
Mm-hmm.
Now go to a brown belt my size.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And you just boop, 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 boop. But you don't get to just the last time I trained with Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 20-minute round. All of the other rounds we had done that day were 6 minutes. It's because he obviously, I figured out 10 minutes into it, was working on his arm bar from the mount. And I was escaping. And we kept training.
Just kept going.
And he kept, I'd get out, he'd pass my guard, he'd mount me, walk my arm, mm-hmm. I'd get out again.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't trying to leg lock me. He wasn't taking my back. He wasn't
mm-hmm.
doing all these other things that he could do.
Mm-hmm.
He was just going to armbar me from the mount.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? He was practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's good enough that he could practice in a live role.
Sure, sure.
You know?
Yeah. And he can dictate the course.
Yeah, I couldn't do anything to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
No? So if that's what the best are doing, what yeah. should we do?
Yeah. Hey, folks. Hope you're loving this episode of the Uncivilized Podcast. I know I love this conversation. Listen, if you are a man or if you know a man, I want you to come join us at the Uncivilized Men's Initiation in March in Austin. This is 5 hard days of men's work, equine therapy, the wild,
waking up the wild in men, getting men to feel their hearts. I have so many guys that have walked into this workshop as one man and walked out completely transformed. If you're interested, please go to manuncivilized.com/initiation-TX or email me, Traver@manuncivilized.com with any questions that you may have. Join us for the men's initiation. All right, back to the episode.
Elliot, is that your philosophy? Because I'm really curious how Easton as an organization has also been so successful.
Not great people. That's first and foremost.
And I imagine there are how many, what percentage of businesses fail in the first year? It's some astronomical amount. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even more fail in the second year.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have weathered a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a sport that is fickle because it's hard. It's just mm-hmm. fucking hard, period. There's mm-hmm. no way around. You can't sugarcoat that.
Yeah.
So how have you guys and your specific facility with your specific philosophy, what's something that's underneath it that people listening could take away with that or take away from that?
It is my privilege, Elliot, the UFC fighter, the successful dude, the dude who's won all the jiu-jitsu stuff there is to win. It is my privilege that any single person would spend 1 hour of their day learning this dumb martial art from me. So if you can approach things like that, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
it's not their privilege to learn from me.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
You can choose to do anything you want with your time.
Right.
And then you set core values as an organization. Mm-hmm. What are you willing to lose friends and money over?
Mm-hmm.
What are you willing to lose friends and money over?
Right.
If it gets violated.
That's a great question for a business.
How about for yourself now?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
What are you willing to lose friends and money over? What do you stand so strongly on?
Yeah.
That you want that not that you don't mess it up sometimes.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So what is that? And then you create vision. Where do you want to be in 5 years? Mm-hmm. And now where does Elliot want to be as when we're talking about business?
Sure.
Where do you want to be as a business in 5 years now? If I'm going to get there as a business, the janitor, the guy, the front desk guy that you met,
mm-hmm.
he better see how that's going to include him.
Mm.
Morgan better see that.
Right.
Right? Because if not, why the hell is he going to, why is he going to do this?
Right.
As soon as something better comes along, he'll just go do that.
Right.
If you jiu-jitsu school down the road,
right.
offer him a quarter more an hour to work the front desk,
right.
he just goes and does that.
Right.
Okay? That creates a culture mm-hmm. and a community of people that grow together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you do it. And then you slowly add pressure to the individual. You slowly add pressure. And for me, I would say, I guess, most schools do this opposite. If you get close to the instructor, you get more privilege.
Mm-hmm.
You might get more privilege getting close to me, but I'm going to demand so much of you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be close to me, it's not that fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to demand that you help other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I will give you more time. Like sure. We're about to go to a 3 o'clock class, right?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
That's for free. I don't get paid for that. That's just for my guys that want to get good. Mostly a lot of girls too. Mm-hmm. They want to get good,
mm-hmm.
right? Great. When I ask you to help somebody after class, I don't want you better be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You better be bringing the juniors up because
mm-hmm.
I'm bringing you up. I can't bring everybody mm-hmm. up, right? Like that's just impossible.
Sure.
But I can bring you up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bring them up. And if you don't bring them up, then I'm going to stop bringing you up.
Right, right, right.
But I put massive amounts of pressure on people.
Mm-hmm.
Too much sometimes.
Define pressure in this sense.
Get better. Get better at jiu-jitsu, get better as a human, get better. I'm not interested in hanging out and being around people that aren't trying to get better.
Right.
Yeah. It brings me down.
Yeah.
It brings me down. I'll go down. I'll be crying in my basement again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have steps that I take every day to not cry in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll end up there at some point and dig my way out. Mm-hmm. You know? I've done it before
right.
with the help of amazing people in my life. But yeah, we have to get better.
Mm-hmm.
We're never done. Never, ever, 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 ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also not competing with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only worried about Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
Am I better today than I was yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. you know? How many?
Was this taught to you or was this?
No, I had to figure it out. Yeah. I had to figure it out. I broke. 2016, I broke. I absolutely crumbled. School was successful. Boulder was successful.
Yeah.
I crumbled. I absolutely crumbled. The pressures of all of this. I wasn't addressing it, you know? And I had lost as a fighter. I was not a champion. I know you're like, Elliot, lost. What do you mean you were fighting the UFC? Right. Yeah, that's failure. That was a failure. Mm-hmm. Because I remember I had to be the best. That's how I was going to be safe.
Right.
So 2016 came, I crumbled. Total breakdown, okay. You know? Crying in my basement.
Yeah.
Panicking, pacing the house, wondering how I'd get from moment to moment, day to day, like, you know? Right. Like just pure panic.
Yeah.
And I had to dig myself out. And again, here, I'm lucky.
What did that look like, if you don't mind?
It looked like crying every night.
Therapy, couch.
Oh, digging myself out?
Yeah, digging yourself out.
Great. Yeah, for sure. So what did it look like at first?
Yeah.
It looked like, and so again, look, one of my best friends was my doctor. The worst, that it came to a head on a Friday night. Can you call your doctor on Friday night at 5:30?
We don't have a doctor, man.
Okay, so most people can't, right? Yeah. Because, right?
Right.
How long is it going to take you to see your doctor if you're having anxiety?
Right.
Weeks, months.
Right. For sure.
I got a phone call right back. Mm. He got me a prescription immediately. I needed something to bring it down.
Right.
You know, I also take a long-term anxiety med. So for all of you men out there, I'm assuming a lot of men that are like, oh man, that's weakness. Well, we can talk, you know? We can talk.
Yeah, I have asthma. It's not, it's like I'm on something, right?
Right.
I'm carrying something.
I have high blood pressure too.
Right.
I have to take a high blood pressure.
Medicine. Yeah, we have a weird view of, well, it's anxiety. Why don't you just take a couple deep breaths and you'll be good? But we don't say that to someone with
high blood pressure or asthma or like cholesterol problems.
Liver issues.
Right?
Yeah.
You try naturally.
Sure.
Look, I've been fighting this demon for years. My doctor had known about this for years.
Since sure.
03 when, you know, you know, when he became my doctor.
Right.
He's like, Elliot, it's 2016. It's been 13 years. You've been battling this. Yeah. Let's do something.
Yeah.
You know? So we did. I did. And I still take it to this day.
Yeah.
So
I think it's really important to say. So thank you for saying that.
And I want to say something else along with this med.
Please.
This med doesn't do it by itself.
Sure.
This is not like Advil. You take Advil, pain goes away.
Right.
Right. This makes the space for you to now go do all the work that is necessary to be better. Therapy, meditation, journaling, these dumb beads that I wear, right? Like whatever.
Right.
This is what Elliot does to make Elliot good so that all the bullshit that comes in my life from 7 schools and 150 employees and 5,000 students and a wife and kids and family.
And politics.
And politics.
And pandemic.
And everything.
Yeah.
So that Elliot is okay. But Elliot has learned in 2016 that I have to get up every morning and take care of me so that I can go serve the world and do my thing and do what I say is most important, which is show those two boys that I have that sleep in my house what it's like to be a man in the world today and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that doesn't mean just telling them what to do.
Sure.
Because they're going to get to an age when they don't want to listen to me. And all they're going to be paying attention to is dad's actions.
Right.
What does dad do?
Right.
Rather than what does dad say?
Right. They're fucking watching you already.
Already.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
You know? Already.
Elliot, can we switch
a
bit to just speaking to men specifically?
Because
what you just said, a lot of guys will push back. I get the same pushback from them of, that's selfish.
What's selfish?
I can't get up and meditate and journal and do all this shit. Like, I need to go to work. I need to produce. I need to take care of my family.
What time do you get up? What time do you get up to go to work? What time do you get up to go to work?
I'm up at like 5.
Yeah, to do all this stuff.
Yeah. I have the same routine you do. Yeah.
So like
beads are in the car.
Yeah, okay. So you wake up at let's say you gotta be if you have to get up at 7 to be at work at 8:30, well then motherfucker, you gotta get up at 6.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
Do you get any pushback on taking, this is, I guess, the angle I'm trying to get you to break down is a lot of guys think any kind of self-care or any kind of self-attention is selfish.
Mm, yeah,
as opposed to like, you're a CEO or you're the,
I'm not a CEO. I'm a founder.
You're the head of this business.
Yeah.
And I've seen a number of heads get it that like, if you go down, the whole business goes down. But a lot of guys who aren't specifically in that titled role have trouble grasping that. Did you always grasp that?
No.
Okay.
But after 16, I did.
And what got you to that? I get it. There was the fall. There's the comeback. Then what normally happens? Nine times out of 10, what normally happens?
Everyone goes, oh, I got it.
And 3 months later?
Right.
Like 6 diet. Months later? Another. Right,
right. Right.
How did you hold on?
I guess my fall was so deep. The devil had such a hook in
me
that I was like, okay, this is what got me out. So keep going. Now, look, this doesn't mean that I don't miss a day of meditation.
Of course.
You miss a day too, right?
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
We all, you know, this doesn't mean that everything that I say today and everything that we discuss, I blow it all at times.
Yeah.
I'm a bad dad. Right.
Sure.
Everything.
Sure.
Okay. So let's not go down this route of, oh man, he has the answers. I got the answers for me,
right?
And they've worked, you know, and I've just stolen them from other people.
Sure.
What keeps me going? There ain't nothing like the moment.
Say more.
It's all you have.
Yeah.
Is this moment right now. So how do you realize it? How do you pay attention to it? How can you focus in on it? And how can you take a, and the only way to do that, the only way that I have found to do that is to take a breath.
Mm.
So this breath practice must mean something. Okay. The next thing that I have to do after my breath practice is I have to have gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For everything that I have in my life, including my problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Including my problems. You said sorry to me earlier about my upbringing.
Sure.
With the kids and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it made me. It made me who I am today. Without it, I have no clue who I would be.
Mm-hmm.
Without that struggle, who might I be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who I don't know.
Right.
You know, I don't know. And the struggle was just enough. That racism and anti-Semitism was just enough. I didn't get hung from a tree. It wasn't the 1960s.
Right.
I didn't get thrown in the oven like my grandparents' family did.
Right.
Right? Like, okay, so I wasn't there. So man, I'm pretty lucky that it wasn't there.
Okay.
My anxiety, my struggle with it was just hard enough that I could get through. I don't know what would have happened if it was 10% more. Neither do you. You would like to say, oh yeah, I'm a fucking man. Mm.
Right.
A lot of people kill themselves, man.
A lot of people kill themselves.
A lot of men.
Yeah.
You know? So it was just enough so that I could actually overcome.
Mm.
So I say thank you to the world for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my best friend died in 2020.
Mm.
And I just spend a moment with him every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Just spend a moment with him. And then I repeat the four agreements.
Mm-hmm.
Take, be impeccable with my word. Take nothing personally. Make no assumptions and always do my best. Be the most skillful. And then I have pillars, man. I have pillars of who I am. And I develop these over time. I'm a father first and foremost. It is unbreakable.
Mm-hmm.
If I die right now after this podcast, who's going to be their dad? Mm-hmm. Me.
Mm-hmm.
If even worse, if they die, I'll still be their dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never take that away.
Mm-hmm.
Along with father comes husband. My wife and I will always be attached forever and ever. Even if we get divorced, we have these two children.
Yeah.
I am a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That is my job in the world. They teach. To be a teacher, you must be a student.
Mm-hmm.
Must be. I'm a fighter, and I have a question for you.
Sure.
What's the one thing in your life you've never, ever, ever failed at? Not once.
Waking up in the morning.
Making it through your worst day.
Yeah.
So you're a survivor. You're actually really good at it. You're really good at making it through really, really bad days.
Mm-hmm.
And so is everyone else listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
But those are my pillars.
Mm-hmm.
They are always true.
Mm.
It can't be broken. Break them. Go ahead. Try.
Right.
What event? Only death.
Right.
Because it would make me not a survivor anymore.
Mm.
But then I can't worry about it. Right.
Right. And it's out of your hands.
It's out of my hands. It's between me and whatever you believe.
Yeah.
You know? So I have these six pillars and they're very balanced.
Yeah.
The first three are for the world. Father, husband, teacher. I give them away.
Mm.
The next three are for me.
Mm-hmm.
Student, fighter, survivor. So my altruism and my narcissism balance.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking beautiful.
And that's how I go through the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So every day when I fuck up, all right, great. Get back to your pillars. I can mess up so much.
Yeah.
Because I'm so clear on who I am.
Mm.
So failure, it just does not mess with me. It really doesn't mess with me.
Right.
I've failed at everything. Everything. You know who wasn't a good general manager? Me. So we found better ones. I found better ones.
Right.
I am only good at the lowest level thing, which is teaching.
Right.
I can teach. I can teach a badass class. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I can't manage for shit.
But you have a vision.
I have a vision.
Yeah. So you're also the visionary.
But now I did that with my life. That thing that I talked about with the business, make a vision, set core values. So look, I set core values for my life. I have pillars of my life.
Yeah.
What do I want my life to look like in 5 years?
Yeah.
What do I want it to look like? Okay. What am I going to have to accomplish in 3 to make that happen? 2 to make that 1. What are the 10 things I got to get done this year to get to my 1 year goals?
Yeah.
All right. Take 3 of them. Work one on this quarter.
Right.
What do I got to do today to get to the quarter?
Mm. Beautiful.
So now it's just what's the next smallest little thing, just like the Broncos, that I can do to be better?
Yeah.
I don't got to worry about 5 years because I know that if I take these steps, 5 years is going to happen.
Right.
Now, where did those steps come from? They came from fucking passion.
Mm.
It came from passion. Elliot loves doing martial arts and teaching. That's my passion. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
I found my power through that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I give my purpose to the world.
Mm. Beautiful.
And that's what I do. Mm-hmm. Works for me.
Can we shift real quick?
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah,
No. That was beautiful. Yeah. Keep going.
That was it.
You got free reign.
Yeah.
How do you balance all of this and fatherhood? Because a lot of guys listening are fathers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys are in struggle. They may not be able to see their kids. They may be separated. They may be divorced. Or they may be under that mindset that we talked about 2 minutes ago, which was my job is to put a roof over their heads and food on the table. And that's fucking it. How do you balance all this with 2 kids? Or is balance even the right word?
I'm gonna balance it. I believe things always get out of balance and you got to bring them back in.
For sure.
You know? So when we were starting, I worked 80 hours a week, right? But you got to have a vision of how you're going to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how is that not going to happen? And make sure that I spend time with them and make sure I talk to them. The car ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went to Breck over the weekend.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything. You know?
Just hung out.
We all just hung out, me and my wife and them. Yeah. You know? To get good at it, when you're not good at it, you have to do something called time block.
Mm.
And that's how you get good at with the thing that I just talked about, right? Your 3 goals for the right? You time block. And you get a calendar. Look, and you write it out every day.
Right.
I have a program that takes people through how to do this. Start with goals, pillars, get there. What are the areas of your life? What do you want them to look like? Things like that, right? And then look, the answer is time blocking. At 8 o'clock, I do this. At 9 o'clock, I do this. My kids are in school, right? So at 8 o'clock, I'm downstairs and we're all hanging out before school on most of the days, right?
Yeah.
Thursdays, it might be off for me.
Sure.
Right? So that's what happens on every day.
Yeah.
I try to take them to school. Okay. And then at 9 o'clock, it's this. At 10 o'clock, it's this. At 1:30, it's me and you in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
At 2:30, I'm going to have a little break so that I can be ready to teach my class.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then, okay, boom. And so I just know I time block my entire life to start.
Wow.
Including family time.
Wow.
Including family time. You know, I know that on Saturdays, not this week, but next week, basketball starts.
Mm-hmm.
So I will change everything on my schedule so that I go to the basketball games. Because that's our thing. They love basketball. They are addicted, you know? And look, this is something one of my mentors has helped me with. And I struggle with it sometimes. Elliot, you've made money in your life, right? Go ahead and say it. I've been successful.
Sure.
I spend $3,000 a month on my kids' fucking basketball. Because that's what they love.
Right.
And we are going to chase greatness.
Right.
Whether we end up there or not, I don't care. If it was piano, it could be piano.
Right.
Ballet, I don't care.
Right.
Does not matter to me. But we are going to chase it.
Yeah.
And we are going to try our damnedest. Now, look, I didn't force any of it upon them.
Right.
You know? None of it. I was super proud of my oldest.
How old is he?
He's going to be 13, but he was, you know, if you want to play basketball, you got to play with black kids, right? Like, this is just what it is. Okay. You can't play with the white kids in Boulder. You got to buy black kids, right? Stats are stats, bro. The NBA is 80% my black African American, okay? Stats are stats. Okay. So you got to find black kids.
Yeah. Right?
We found black kids. He was always the best on his team until then.
Yeah.
Okay. These kids, one of these kids is stupidly athletic.
Yeah.
33-inch vertical jump at 13 and a half years old.
That's insane.
That's insane. Yeah. That's insane. That's like the peak I ever had in like the prime male athleticism. Right. I was probably taking some growth hormone, you know? And this kid's 13, you know? So, why would he ever pass the ball? No one's as athletic as him. No one can do what he can do, right? So I looked at my kid and I said, well, what's going to make him pass you the ball? Mm. He's like, well, when I'm open, I can't miss. I was like, all right, well, you can't miss, right? He goes, I was like, what's going to make you not miss? He goes, I got to shoot more jump shots. I was like, how many do you think you got to shoot a day? He's probably like, I don't know, Dad, 200. You know, it takes an hour or so, a little more. I was like, when are you going to do that? He goes, I guess I'm going to have to get up at 6:30 in the morning. Mm. He started getting up in the springtime at 6:30 in the morning, going out there, shooting 200 shots a day.
Wow.
Super proud of him.
Yeah.
You know, super proud of him.
Right.
Okay. So this is what I mean by chase greatness.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell him to do it. I walked him to the path.
Yeah.
Of you tell me when you're going to shoot these 200 shots.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I didn't think he was going to do it. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, he's like, oh, yeah. It ain't happening.
6:30 is early when you're 13.
For a kid.
Yeah.
To shoot some shots.
Yeah. It's real early.
You know?
Yeah.
He does it. You know, so that's my job.
Yeah.
That's what I'll call success. Mm. I don't know if he's going to make it to the NBA. I don't know if he's going to get a D1 scholarship. I don't care. We're going to try.
Yeah.
And the failure or success of that
right.
will lead him to the next thing in his life.
For sure.
I have this other one that's a freak athlete. I have one that's like this kid that, you know,
yeah,
it's stupid. Like, you know, he plays up a year. They both play up a year.
Yeah.
And my youngest, you know, all the coaches in the league called that we lied, that they lied on his birth certificate. Mm-hmm. Well, he's 9 playing in a 10-year-old league. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's you're right. He's yep. playing up. You're correct. He's right. He's not 10.
Right, right, right.
So now I have to figure out how do I harness this child, this athletic, this freak of a kid mm-hmm. that has been following his brother, mm-hmm. right? And who's losing isn't even a thing in his psyche. So now my job isn't just to like watch and awe.
Right.
You know? My job is to be like, okay, how do I harness talent? I've never had to harness talent like mm-hmm. this before, mm-hmm. right? So I got to figure this out. So that's on me now,
right?
You know, that's on me to help guide him through this world. And I have 2 different kids: one that's got to work stupidly hard, mm-hmm. and one that you know scores 30 fucking points a game
right.
in a 10-year-old basketball league, mm-hmm. which you know. Normally they score 40. Then the team might score 30 normally.
Right, right, right.
And we're not talking the YMCA.
Right.
But I'm not like, oh yeah, look at my kids. He's great. No, I got to figure out how to harness that child.
Right. Because that's a whole like there's a book called the
Talent Code.
Yeah, the gift of the shoot, something okay. of the gifted child, the curse of the gifted child.
Yeah.
Right. Like having talent brings its own set of quote challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like how do you harness it?
Yeah. And look, Malcolm Gladwell talks about this too. Everyone that goes to Harvard
right.
graduated number one in their class.
Sure.
But when you get to Harvard, what's going to happen? One of those number one, one of those valedictorians is going to be what? Mm-hmm. The worst.
Right.
They've never been the worst before. They have no clue how to handle this.
Right. Right.
Right. So sometimes being the middle of the pack when we're talking about talent, mm-hmm. right, and you bloom later a little, man, that you know how to fight through shit.
Right, right, right.
You know what adversity feels like.
Right. You're resilient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did have a parent. You want a good parenting flail?
Yeah, please.
Oh, God. So my kid's crushing it in the game, right? Like I was talking about. He's killing it. And he gets elbowed in the face and grabs his face crying. And like the coaches look at me and my wife. I'm like, don't you take him out. Right? He's got to learn how to play through this. He had a hairline fracture.
It was over a month ago and it's still bumped and bruised.
But like I wanted him to learn
yeah.
how to deal with some adversity. Like
right.
this was an opportunity for him.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He hits a 3, looks at me. In the long run,
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
He learned that how he's feeling can be separated from what he's gonna do.
Right.
You know,
which is the requirement of so many men.
How you're Well, first of all, that's an awful word right there. Feeling for men. Feelings.
Yeah.
Are you aware of them?
Yeah.
Are you paying attention to them? Us, right? Man, I'm feeling. You feel a certain way, and I'm stealing this from a book called Nonviolent Communication.
Mm-hmm.
You feel a certain way because you have an ingrained need that isn't getting met.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to know what you need. Because when we feel a certain way, especially men, mm-hmm. we're going to act a certain way. We're going to behave a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily good,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you're hearing this idea of toxic masculinity.
Sure.
Man, I don't believe in it. And I don't believe in it for a very specific reason. Yeah. I believe in the behavior.
Mm-hmm,
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
That behavior is toxic. Mm-hmm. Just don't put it next to the word masculine.
For sure.
Because it's not masculine.
Right.
Right? It's just not masculine behavior.
Right.
Okay? Masculine, real bad masculine behavior. Right? You are aware of how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You're very, very aware of how, you're aware of what you need. I know exactly what it is I need. Need physical touch. I'm not talking about sex. Of course, we all need sex. That's just baseline. Men, women, that doesn't change, right? I need touch. I need connection. I need family time. I need alone time. These are needs that I have. Whose job is it to get my needs met?
Yours.
Mine.
Right.
When I don't get them met, I'm going to what? Feel a certain way.
Mm.
And then I will act a certain way because I'm feeling a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like to talk about those words.
Right.
Now, a lot of times, I know my default is coward.
Mm.
My default is to be a coward and run and be scared. So a lot of times I have to say fuck you to my feelings.
Mm.
I have to be very aware of that I'm doing it though.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be out of this bravado or insecurity, fuck you. It's got to be out of this, okay, Elliot, yes, you are scared. You are scared because you are thinking or believing that something is going to happen that is not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
So just go do right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I have to go through the world mm-hmm. a lot. But a lot of men were overcompensating
mm-hmm.
with this. I talk about this a lot, this idea that I'm a lion dog. I ain't no sheep.
Right.
And you wear shirts and hat. I hate it. I can't stand it. Because I know he's having a bad year in Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Right. What do you think Tom Brady did with all of those Super Bowl championship shirts that he got?
No idea.
No, not does he wear them?
I doubt it.
Why?
Because he just wants the next one.
And everybody knows.
Mm.
So when you're the Super Bowl champ and you're the best in the world, you don't got to tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to fucking tell anybody.
Right.
So if you're an actual lion,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to say it.
Mm. Yeah.
You just do it. I have no clue if I'm a lion or not. But that's not on me to say. That's on the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
If I do the things necessary to not be a sheep, mm-hmm. let's say. But I don't have to wear a shirt that says it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't have to like say that I am.
Right.
If you wear one, I most likely know you're not.
Right. right.
You know? And I know there are a lot of men that are wearing it right now that are lions.
Sure.
You know? Most of them are getting paid by that company.
Yeah.
But, you know, but just the regular dudes out there.
Yeah.
Don't scream you're a lion.
Just be
a lion.
Yeah.
And don't be concerned with what somebody else thinks.
Right.
Just be a lion. Go.
Take care of itself.
Everything. If you do the smallest thing possible to be skillful in this moment, it will take care of itself.
Yeah.
Don't aim too big. Aim as low as possible.
Mm.
And aim as low as possible every day and watch where that low aim gets you.
Because
you'll actually succeed at it.
Mm-hmm.
And success breeds success. You know, breeds success, right?
Right.
You just keep succeeding. And then your low aim starts to be a little higher, right? You know, just like we teach the jiu-jitsu student.
Right.
Come in, do a front break fall and hip out.
Right.
Great. Okay. That's what we care about in the first month.
Yeah.
Stand up and base.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Understand the positions.
Mm-hmm.
Real, real low aims.
Mm-hmm.
Real low ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see where they end up.
Mm-hmm. Keep showing up.
Keep showing up.
Yeah.
If you keep them coming, they're going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
If you beat the fuck out of them, they're going to quit.
Right.
Is it right?
Right.
So same thing. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing. Aim real, real low for yourself.
Yeah.
Get up, meditate, journal, take a cold shower if that's your thing.
Yeah.
Exercise.
Right.
aim as low as, watch your day go.
Yeah.
Watch it go.
Yeah.
Do that for a month straight. Watch how wildly successful your day goes.
Yeah, for sure.
Some people say make your bed, right?
Right.
Making your bed don't matter, but it's success.
Yeah.
Right? You did something successful immediately. Mm. And it's just so easy to compound on.
Mm-hmm. Elliot, what's next for you?
I don't know. What's next? At 3 o'clock, I'm gonna teach a class.
What's next for this business?
You have a thought? Easton?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about that so much. I have a team that does that.
Okay.
You know, what's next? We want, we want 10 to 15 schools in the next 5 years.
Good for you.
I want to create careers for people.
Mm.
I want to train. I would love to train a world champion. Mm. You know, that would be really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting into public speaking. Mm. So I'm speaking on some stages, you know.
Yeah, you've done a TED Talk, right?
Yeah, I have a TED Talk. Good for you. So yeah, I got lucky with that. So what's next? Being the best, let me rephrase that. Being the man that these young men, these children that I have, and they don't hate me yet. And I know that time is coming, right? But right now they still think I'm Superman.
Yeah.
I'm shooting at being that man.
Okay.
That's what I'm shooting at. And I know it's unattainable because their vision of who their dad is this thing that's,
sure.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
I can shoot for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's see where I end up.
Beautiful.
What's next? I follow my passions, man.
Yeah.
I follow my passions and I follow my purpose and my power. I just try to make sure that I balance that and realize that I got to get something out of it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I got to get something out of it too. So as long as I'm keeping all that in balance,
mm-hmm.
you know, be good to my wife.
Yeah.
You know, my parents are getting older.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure I take care of my parents and make sure that I'm a good son to them. As they age, and then walk into the arena, and that's all I try to do, and that's all I try to do. And then the chips fall where the chips fall, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, I hope that more people will say, I don't hope that. I hope that I touch one life.
Mm.
You know, I hope that I touched one life in a way. That they were like, God damn, that dude made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
That dude made a difference in my life. Beautiful. So that's all I'm shooting for.
Thank you.
Low. Yeah. Real low.
Right. And thank you for coming in.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Yeah, man.
For people who are interested in finding out more specifically about you, your work, training with you, hiring you as a speaker,
mm-hmm.
where can we send them?
All of it can be done in one of two places. ElliotMarshall.com or look, I'm on all the social media. I'm not on Twitter. Twitter's trash. And it was trash before the whole Trump thing, right? Like it's trash. Like it's just vitriol. Okay. So I'm not on Twitter. I think I have an account, but I deleted it. Like I deleted the app. So I don't even look, you know, it's nothing to do. This is not political. Okay. Not political. I'm not. What's the real right-wing one now called?
Oh, Parler.
Parler. I'm not on Parler either. Okay. Like I'm just not interested in going back and forth with anybody like that. Okay. I'm on all the social media platforms, minus the crazy ones, but where you're going to get me to talk to you is Instagram. So FireMarshall205 on Instagram or ElliotMarshall.com. And that's where I'm at.
Beautiful.
All right.
Thank you again, sir.
Yeah,
appreciate
man.
Your time.
Appreciate
Look
it.
Look forward to training with
you.
This is Traver Bohm signing off on another episode of the Uncivilized Podcast. If you enjoyed this, please give us a share, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. And if you're interested in getting a hold of my book, Man Uncivilized, whether you're a man or a woman, please go to www.manuncivilized.com/the book and get reading.